Psalm 23. Chances are you've heard it, whether you're a Christian or not. If you're a Christian, you probably heard it in church, and if you're a non-Christian, you probably heard it at a funeral. Because Psalm 23 is one of those poetic pieces of scripture that brings us great comfort when things really are tough. And in today's message, our senior pastor, McGray DeVega, is going to explore this imagery of the valley of the shadow of death. Those places where it's dark and it seems hopeless. And is God even with us? But as we'll notice in this psalm, God is with the person who's going through the valley of the shadow of death, and God is with you in whatever you're going through. Check it out.
Let's pray together. Oh God, open our eyes to empathy, curiosity, and humility, that we might be generous and compassionate toward others and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. The 23rd Psalm is one of the most iconic scriptures in our Bible. It's one of those passages you recognize simply by reference, like John 3:16, Genesis 1:1, Psalm 23. You know the words just when you hear the reference. It is poetic and artistic, and has been referenced in over 50 popular songs, from bands like Pink Floyd, to U2, to The Grateful Dead. It's also filled with beautiful imagery that connects to the landscapes of our souls. We've all had moments when we have felt as peaceful as green pastures, when our souls have been restored like still waters, or when God has led us along the right paths, or when we have felt the bounty of God's blessing like a full table set before us. These are all beautiful images. In fact, if you do a Google image search of Psalm 23, you'll find countless artists who have painted this psalm, and they all show similar scenes. Tranquil shades of greens and blues, rolling hills, and a peaceful flock of grazing sheep. We can easily imagine that that's what the psalmist was looking at when he penned this famous psalm. But if there's one landscape in Psalm 23 that most catches our attention, it's the one that seems quite different from all the others. It's the one we would most readily ignore and prefer to skip right past, because it's the image that disrupts the tranquility of this psalm, just as it disrupts the tranquility of our lives. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is pure poetry. It is also stark reality. This phrase contains three successive verbal punches to the gut, describing life at its most difficult, the valley of the shadow of death. We remember that throughout the Bible, valleys are places of fear, grief, and desperation. In the book of Numbers, the Israelite spies return to Moses in the Valley of Eshkol after scouting the Promised Land, with 10 of the 12 spies reporting with fear that there were giants in the land of Canaan. So, what are the gigantic fears that make you worry about your future or the future of someone you love? Is that your valley today? In 1 Samuel, we see one of the greatest battles in biblical history in the Valley of Elah between a giant Philistine warrior and a scrawny shepherd boy with just a sling and 5 stones. So what are the Goliaths in your life right now? Does that describe your current valley? In Ezekiel, the prophet describes one of the great visions in all the Hebrew Bible in the Valley of Dry Bones, where decomposed skeletons reassemble into living beings once again. So what are the decaying parts of your life that you are praying might be restored? Does that describe the valley of your soul today? Which brings us back to Psalm 23, where tucked amid all of the tranquil and lush images between the green pastures and the still waters and a dwelling place with God forever, there is this inescapable, unavoidable reality of life, the valley of the shadow of death. We cannot skip past it. We have to pass through it because it is in the middle of this psalm. Literally and literally, it is right in the middle of this psalm. My friend and terrific preacher James Howell has noted a very important shift in this psalm, if you notice, the way the psalmist refers to God. In the beginning of Psalm 23, the psalmist refers to God in the third person, as if talking about God. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. But somewhere along these six verses, the psalmist shifts in the way he refers to God from the third person he to the more intimate, more personal second person you or thou. It's as if the psalmist has made a conscious decision at some point in this psalm to not just talk about God, but to talk directly to God in a deeper, more personal conversation. You comfort me. You prepare a table. You anoint my head. That's a remarkable shift from viewing God objectively to connecting to God personally. And where do you suppose that shift happens in this psalm? Yep, in verse 4. Right in the valley. This points to one of the central truths in this psalm. It is in the valley that we can experience God most closely and most personally. As painful and as inescapable as the valleys of our lives are, they can also be, and they often are, the most transformational moments in our lives. Because that is where we discover a relationship with God who is with us. It's right there in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Biblical scholar James Lindberg points to another really choice insight. That phrase, thou art with me, is exactly in the center point of this psalm. There are precisely 26 words before this phrase, thou art with me, and 26 words after this phrase, which makes this psalm, in and itself, a literary valley in which all the tranquil moments of our past, the green pastures at the beginning of the psalm, and all the hopeful dreams of our future, eternal dwelling place at the end of the psalm, they all converge in the center of the psalm. In the crucible of our darkest valleys. The psalmist would remind us that only when we go through those painful moments can we experience the one truth that will enable us to experience both tranquility and hope. Thou art with me. The early church theologian, St. John of the Cross, went through a valley, and he called it the dark night of the soul. But that is where he experienced God most deeply. Even the incomparable Mother Teresa of Calcutta went through a valley, as she described in her journal, moments of doubt and disbelief. And it is then that she reached out to God to, quote, come be my light. G.K. Chesterton once said, quote, one sees great things from the valley. Only small things from the peak. He understood that only when you are in the valley can you see the greatest truths from up close. That's especially true for God. And the psalmist realized that only by being in the valley can we experience the truth that changes everything. This one truth that matters the most, thou art with me. In modern-day Israel-Palestine, today, just east of Jerusalem, there is a wilderness called the Wadi Kelt. Wadi is the Arabic word for valley. Kelt is spelled Q-E-L-T. The Wadi Kelt is one of the most dramatic natural landscapes in the region. It's a deep valley. It's been carved up by a now dried-up river for thousands of years. On either side are steep, imposing cliffs dotted with caves and crevices. The valley stretches for about a mile and a half, all filled with rocky terrain. Today, it's a tourist site. Visitors can descend into the valley and see modern conveniences, public restrooms, shady places to rest, even a monastery carved right there into the cliff walls. Still, it takes a few hours to walk the entire 1.5 mile valley. And, by the way, it's one of the few places where both Israelis and Palestinians can enter freely and interact without having to pass through checkpoints. Well, one can easily imagine how threatening and imposing the Wadi Kelt was thousands of years ago. It was a dangerous place to walk, especially alone. There was the constant threat of wild animals lurking behind every corner. The caves were a convenient place for thieves and bandits to hide and pounce on unsuspecting travelers. It is no wonder that the Wadi Kelt is widely known by another name. It is called, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. According to Jewish tradition, this is the place where the psalmist sat and was inspired to write the 23rd Psalm. Not on some rolling hill overlooking green pastures and still waters, not a place of tranquility, but a place of danger and fear. For this was the place where the psalmist realized that his entire view of God had shifted. Not as one who was distant or absent or largely disconnected from his suffering, but as one who was close by, right there with him in his suffering, whose rod was there to ward off bandits and wolves, whose staff was there to rescue him when he was in danger, right here in the Valley of the Shadow of Death. By the way, there is something else to know about the Wadi Kelt. As dangerous as it was also the fastest route to travel between two historic cities, Jericho and Jerusalem. Jericho, the economic and financial center, and Jerusalem, the religious and cultural center. Imagine the cities of New York City and Washington, D.C., and you can imagine the number of travelers needing to get from one city to the other, and the Wadi Kelt was the fastest route between the two. So there's another story in the Bible told about a man who was traveling between Jericho and Jerusalem, and he was walking the Wadi Kelt when bandits and thieves sprung out from those shadowy caves and robbed him and beat him and left him for dead. He lied there, off to the side, clinging for life in a literal valley of the shadow of his own imminent death. You may realize what story this is by now. It's the one told by Jesus about how this man watched as people passed him by, maybe so consumed by their own fears of being accosted by thieves or consumed by their own busy lives that they just walked right on past him. And as this man was lying there in his suffering, just as you and I struggle through our own dark nights of the soul, we might imagine this man offering these words as a prayer. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. And that's when he felt the outstretched hand of compassion. A Samaritan man, it turns out. A good Samaritan. A man who was, for him, the very presence of God, right there with him in the valley, just when he needed it the most. Friends, valleys in our lives are painful. Some of us may be going through them right now. If you've been through them, you know how scary they can be, but you also know how transformative they are. Because when all seems hopeless and when you feel the most alone, that is when you realize more than ever before, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's pray together. God, you are with us. If that weren't true, then nothing else matters. And because that is true, nothing else matters. In whatever season of life we find ourselves in today, whether it be tranquility or despair, peace or anxiety, you are with us. So grant us evidence today of your rod and your staff. Lead us as sheep in need of a shepherd. And remind us that surely, surely, goodness and mercy follow us as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know about you, but that was a really interesting twist at the end of the sermon, and I'm going to be looking at the story of the Good Samaritan differently in the future because of that little nugget right there at the end. If you want to take this message deeper, there are some notes down below. There's reflection questions. You can go to our Next Steps page and join a small group, one of our neighborhood tables, get connected into something that's going on in the life of our church to take this message a little bit deeper. I'm so glad you joined us. I'll see you next time.